Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and today I am joined by John Butler and Christian Castain. How are you fellas doing today?
How are you?
That's great to hear.
Saucy.
You know, I'm feeling a little sauced up tonight. Just ready to get up into some lively debate. I'm not to be trifled with tonight.
Or any other night earlier this week either.
And, We'll see. Friday. The last two nights have been rough for me, just due to general stupid remarks made, and also general just. Just a bad week in general. I came down with a bit of a sickness at the beginning. Our Discord recording app is not working well. We are recording this through Audacity. So I'll just take a shot at our Discord recording. If you want to record a podcast, don't use Discord. So Discord, I will say nice things about you when you start working, but until you can respond to Chris's emails, I'm out on Discord. Like, unless you're just talking through it like a phone service, I'm not on board with Discord. I think they're a terrible organization, and frankly, I think they should treat their customers better. You know. So it's been a bit of a rough week, but let's get into football. Because I need to get into football. Titans-Steelers was Thursday night. Obviously, I thought the Steelers' best game of the year. If there was a case on why they could make the playoffs and go to Foxborough, this was that game. But then again, it's the Patriots. So like I said, I'm not really buying in to the Steelers as a Super Bowl team until they beat the Patriots or make the Super Bowl. But I do think they are playing like one of the best teams in the NFL right now.
Right? You didn't mean playoff contenders, I hope.
I said I won't view them as Super Bowl contenders.
I understand where you're coming from. Definitely one of their best games so far this year. I mean, Big Ben looked like old Big Ben. And one of the biggest issues that tends to come with the Steelers so far this year is that second wide receiver position, whether it's been Juju Smith-Schuster or Martavis Bryant. Bryant clearly being the other issue. They need Bryant to really step up, because if they can get all three of those guys going, they are a dangerous offense. But the defense really stepped up too. That was the first time we've seen them play that well on all sides of the ball in a long time.
I disagree with the defensive part. I think their defense has played better this season. I think that actually this game was close up until really the fourth quarter. I thought that the Steelers' defense had one of their worst performances of the year. But then again, it was a nice ebb and flow, because when the offense hasn't been here this year, the defense has stepped up in Pittsburgh. And this week, when the defense took a little bit of a break, the offense jumped right in.
Four interceptions. I mean, I can't really say that the defense played great when came down to Marcus Mariota throwing four interceptions. For me, like I said, I don't think Tennessee's defense was good at all anyway. I had them down at the bottom with Oakland and a couple of other teams. So I saw what I expected, and I saw what I needed to see out of Pittsburgh to make me still believe that they're Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on this game? The camera angle, that was interesting. I didn't like it when it started, but it grew on me as the game went on. I wouldn't want to watch it for a full game. I liked how they mixed in some of the regular camera shots too, but I wouldn't be opposed to it being used like in 2 to 3 games a year. But like, I wouldn't want to watch the Super Bowl on it or anything like that. But You know, I thought it was an interesting experiment, and one that something that they can use in the future for games where
it's kind
of slow. Well, and
especially it's going to be good for the younger generation as well, just because of the fact that ever since pretty much the early Madden, since 93, 92, they've been at that camera angle in video games. They've been at that behind the quarterback, see the entire width of the field pretty much. And for the younger generation, for my generation and younger, basically, it's that's how we kind of grew up, if you played football on video games. So a lot of people are used to it if you play it. But I also think it allows you to really see how quickly gaps at the line are filled when it comes to running plays, or seeing, okay, well, this the safety's moving over to the left here by 2 yards, so that kind of closes that hole, but it opens up over here. It allows you to see more of what the quarterback sees. It would take some getting used to, just because there is a lot of adjustment to it. I think they did really well with it, though, especially with the graphics on the field and everything else. They kind of, they had an idea what they wanted to do ahead of time, you could tell.
Yeah, I would agree with Eric. I think this wouldn't be something I want to see every week, every game. I wouldn't want to see it every week, but I see where the potential in it being. I see the potential, but not right now. I'm not used to it, so I can't say that it's bad or I'd like it or dislike it.
Absolutely.
It takes more time, but I would say I could deal with it up to 5 times a year, but beyond that, I couldn't deal with it every week.
Yeah, moving on to the games. There are some teams on bye this week. The Colts, the Jets, the Niners, and the Panthers. But let's go to first down, title in progress, as we like to call it. I'm thinking about a title for this, like, Bleach Your Eyes,
no,
maybe?
Like, no, see...
These are the games
you
really
don't
want to
watch. Because
usually
when it comes to the internet, though, eye bleach is usually something pleasing to see. So I don't know, maybe. It has some potential.
Wait, how does that make any sense?
Okay, so if you've ever gone on Reddit, on r/eyebleach, usually it's kittens and stuff like that, because you see some of the worst stuff, so you're trying to clean your eyes, essentially, of all the horrible, nasty stuff you've seen on the internet.
Well, this is
I know. It's
podcast
still
related
same
terms,
thing.
Not internet.
Same thing. Stop it.
A podcast is not the internet.
Hey, you watch it on
it
your
is
TV?
Something you that you find on the internet.
Yes or no?
Some podcasts you can.
Stop it.
Some podcasts, it's very boring, but some podcasts have video shows where you can watch them speak into microphones, which I don't give a point of. Maybe we'll, at some point in the tenure of this show, when we're not as lazy, maybe we'll have to figure out a way to get a video show. But moving on to really these games, the Jaguars and the Browns, I can't believe some people think this is a trap game for the Browns. I don't think the Jaguars are going to blow them out in the traditional sense, but I think the Jaguars are going to blow them out in the fact that I don't think the Browns will score a touchdown in this game. I'm going to take the Jaguars 23-6.
I think it's obviously for me it's the Jaguars. The biggest thing that I think we see is they're going to open up Blake Bortles. This is one of the games that they need to. If they want to get him some confidence, get him moving, they need to open him up to be able to get that confidence and get those reps, I guess. Because they've been getting him going, and this is one of the most important games to do it with, I think. I've got the Jaguars winning this game, of course. The Browns just don't have much on offense, and that defense is too good to deal with it.
He had such a bad game in last week, though, Blake Bortles did. I don't see them doing that, because I think last week they tried to build his confidence and throw 35 times on the Chargers, and it backfired on them. I think they have they've gone away from a run a little bit the last 2 weeks, and I think they're going to move back to that this week. But I wouldn't be surprised if they threw it a lot. I think the biggest
thing is because it's still warm out. They kind of had to throw last week because Fournette was still out, if I remember right, and he may be out. He is a game-time decision as of right now, but they threw last week. I would still say the Chargers are a competent defense against the pass, but the Browns are just completely miserable all over on defense.
Yeah. Moving on to our next...
Eric's forgetting me.
Uh-huh.
I have the Jaguars win in this game. The Browns are the Browns. There's not too much that needs to be said about this game. The Jaguars defense will be way too much for the Browns. That's what it's going to come down to. And also, the Jaguars will go back. I agree with Eric in the sense that the Jaguars will go back to running the ball more. Because if Bortles is throwing the football 30 to 35 times, the Jaguars will lose. Maybe not this week, but in the future, if they go to the playoffs or later in the year, they're going to start losing. They have to start running the football again.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate statement. I will go ahead. Let's move on to our next game. Chiefs-Giants, not a whole lot to talk about here.
I've got the Chiefs winning this game easily. That Giants team is so dysfunctional. There's no way they win this game.
I don't think it'll be a close game. The Giants are a dysfunctional franchise without an offensive line, without a running back, without the quarterback that's not playing very well. Which you could say it was partly because of the offensive line. The Chiefs winning by 21.
Moving on to our next game, which happens to be the Cardinals and the Texans. Cardinals at Texans. This game, John had marked as he had some interest in that. But I guess, John, I want to know... I know that we moved this down pre-show, but originally when you were making this list, what did you see in this game?
A lot of it to me is just because I expect it to be close. I don't expect it to be a great game. A lot of it comes from the fact of these defenses are both still pretty good, even with the struggles and injuries that they've had this year. And a lot of it is, I would say, depending on who's quarterbacking for the Cardinals this week, I mean, it really, you're about an even level with these quarterbacks. Neither team has a great running game. I expect it to be a grind-out game where we see 20-17. And it's mostly just the fact that I expect it to be close. I've got the Cardinals actually winning this game because I just don't trust Tom Savage one bit.
I have the Cardinals winning this game based off the fact that I don't trust Tom Savage. Just like John said, why would I trust Tom Savage? And I do trust Adrian Peterson will probably get maybe not 100 yards, but close. I'd say about 80. I'm going to take the Cardinals by 3. It's going to be a close game, but I don't trust Tom Savage. And I don't trust that defense either.
All right. I'm going to take the Cardinals in this game. Blaine Gabbert, by the way, is starting at quarterback.
Yeah, that's...
So that's an interesting tidbit. But he's... He does have
a bit more to offer, especially when it comes to athleticism and not accuracy. They're about the same, but he at least has the athleticism and ability to take the 10 yards that they'll give him sometimes.
He didn't play horribly in the preseason is the other thing, so maybe it'll end well for him, but not expecting a huge day. Moving on to our next game, the Buccaneers and the Dolphins, a fascinating game, really, between two teams going kind of in the same direction, and really, this is a turning point for the Dolphins, because right now they are playing their worst football. And if they truly want to even have a shot to be a, quote, playoff team, they are going to have to beat the Buccaneers. But I don't see that happening. I know that the Buccaneer, I believe Ryan Fitzpatrick starting this game, I thought he played okay against the Jets, limited his mistakes. I think he can do the same against the Dolphins. I think this is going to be a low-scoring and close game, though, and I'm going to take the Buccaneers.
I honestly don't know. I really don't know who's going to win this football game. I'm going to pick the Dolphins, but both teams are playing at all-time bad for the week for the year. So, like I said, I really don't know. The Dolphins, neither defense is good. Do I trust Jay Cutler over Ryan? Ryan Fitzpatrick? I don't know. I don't think so. I think I trust Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I still, for some reason, I see the Dolphins winning this game. But like I said, I don't know. I really don't know.
I'm going to go bold. I'm going to say this is my lock of the week with the Dolphins. The reason I'm going there, I knew I'd throw you off with this. I'm going with it because I trust Jay Cutler more than I do Fitzpatrick. The Buccaneers defense has not been able to stop anyone. I could probably go out there and throw for 250 yards against them because their corners just don't know how to get pressure, and especially Vernon Hargreaves, who's to me has been a real disappointment. I expected him to take a step forward this year. He hasn't been able to do that. And when it comes to it, it's the fact that they don't have the ability to slow down the pass. Yes, Cutler still locks onto receivers at times, and he will have his issues, but I like Jarvis Landry and Devontae Parker better than I do Evans and DeSean Jackson because of the quarterback play. They've been more consistent, so I'm going to take the Dolphins in this one, especially at home. And don't forget, this is supposed to be their bye week, but because they both had the Hurricane Irma earlier in the year, this is actually the one where they're technically replaying it.
This is a matchup between two bad teams, or two not very good teams. We'll just say very not good teams. I don't want to say bad, because I lose to. But for me, I know Tampa Bay's defense is at an all-time bad. It hasn't been this bad in a long, long time.
All right, so you're taking the Dolphins, absolutely. Miami?
I'm taking Miami.
Chris,
by 3.
Who are you taking?
But it could go either way.
No surprise there.
Yeah.
You guys are going down with a sinking ship, then? But I'm gonna.
Of course.
I'm taking the Buccaneers. Come on. Ryan Fitzpatrick is so much better than Jay Cutler. I'm not even going to have this argument. Moving on to...
If the Dolphins are
going to
finish undefeated, you better hope they lose this game. Oh, if they're going to finish... They are
going to lose out. Right. Moving on to our next... Yeah. Next group of
games.
Or should
we say the dilly-dilly down.
The Ravens.
Did you not notice Ben Roethlisberger's check during that Thursday night game?
No, I noticed it, but I don't get how that becomes the second down name. I'm slightly aloof when it comes to these things. Shut up, Chris. Moving on to Ravens at Packers. Can Hundley look as good as last week is the question you have on this, John, and I'm going to say he didn't look great last week. He had like two or three really good throws, but I thought that Mitch Trubisky way outplayed Brett Hundley in that game. Hundley is an average quarterback, and I trust the best unit in this game, and that is the Ravens defense. And I think that the Ravens are going to win this game because if they win this game, with how open the race for the sixth seed in the AFC is, if the Ravens win this game, they are right back in it for a playoff spot. Does that make them good enough to be a playoff team? No, but a lot of bet. I will admit it. The Dolphins and Chargers and Ravens and really anyone who has more than four wins at this point, four wins or more at this point, has a shot to get that sixth seed, I believe. So this is a big game for the Ravens. I think they're going to go into Lambeau, and I think they're going to beat the Packers, and I'm taking the Ravens
for one,
here.
One, the Chargers only have three wins, so that's not, yeah, so they're out. They're out in the air.
Well, yes, I guess that disqualifies them.
They're not going to the playoffs. Stop that mess. yeah.
Maybe. I'm not giving up on them yet. Okay.
The Ravens will win because for one, I don't think Hundley will keep up any decent performance against their defense. I think their defense will show up this week. I think they'll get to Hundley. Of course, we know that the Bears don't have a very good defense. In my opinion, the defense didn't show up. I won't say they don't have a good defense. Their defense has played okay up to the last week. I don't think that was a good performance. So I'm going to take the Ravens in this game by the 3 points. They're favored by two. I'm going to take them by three.
That's about where I'm sitting, and I've got the Ravens winning this one. I think Hundley is going to struggle a bit more than we saw last week. The Ravens defense is fairly healthy for the most part. Their biggest one that's kind of missing is Jimmy Smith with the Achilles, but between Brian Bulaga, Morgan Burnett, Aaron Jones, Ty Montgomery, all being out for the Packers, I just don't have a lot of confidence in the Packers this game. The Ravens have been up and down all year, but I've got the Ravens winning this one. It'll be interesting to see how they win it, just because the Packers' defense is good against the run, and they struggle against the pass. And the Ravens don't have a great pass game, partly because of Flacco, but also partly because of options in the passing game. So we'll really see in this one, but I've got the Ravens winning.
All right, moving on to our next game, which is the New England Patriots at the Oakland Raiders. Chris, you seem to think that the Oakland Raiders defense can hold the Patriots to under 40 points. And that is where I'm going to tell you you're wrong. I think the least the Patriots score is 35 points. That's the least amount of points they're going to score. Tom Brady is playing unconscious right now. I'd expect this game could be a shootout if the Patriots defense collapses. But their defense has been so good the last few weeks. I think this is going to be a blowout. And let's give a score here. I'm going to take the Patriots, and they're going to be 42-17.
Yeah, you're wrong. I don't see them putting up 42 points. I think they'd have to play basically perfect. Not perfect, like, in the sense of 5-for-5 in the end zone, but I just think it's hard to get 40 points in today's NFL. I don't care what defense you're going against. We don't see it very often, and that's
they just put up 40 points on Denver's defense in Denver. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, we're talking about a team that... Hold on.
Right, okay, so Oakland... Okay. Now, I'll admit, Denver isn't playing great, but they're better than Oakland's defense. Am I wrong there? Am I missing something?
I think you missed.
Oh my God! Even without special teams, they would have put up 40.
They pretty much gave up two touchdowns on special teams. I think you missed the game. I think you missed the first and second quarter. Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't want to hear this. I think the Patriots will put up 30. I'll say 30-17. New England.
For me, this is going to be a blowout in my eyes. Yes, it's being played in Mexico City, and that could make a difference. But the Raiders have zero interceptions on the year. They are the only team, and the only team in the NFL that does not have a pick throughout this point of the year. I don't understand how. A lot of it's just that they can't cover people, and they can't put themselves in that position to get the turnover. They do have six fumbles, or forced fumbles on the year, but I just don't see Brady struggling in this game, honestly. New England's favored by 7. I'm really surprised they weren't a 10-point favorite, but I've got New England easily in this one.
What's your score, Lance?
How many points do they put up?
I'm going to say they put up 41, honestly. I think they sneak in there because of the fact that they're going to find a way to do it. And that Raiders defense just is no good. I expect Brandon Cooks to have a huge game this week.
I'd expect their running backs to have a really good game as well. They have really started to utilize Rex Burkhead. I think he's going to have another big game.
A guy that I really like, too, is Deion Lewis. Yeah. He's a guy who's had a lot of trouble in his career, mostly with health of just torn ACL and knee injuries. But he's come back. He's always been exciting on the field, and he's looking really, really good. And he's taken over that main running back spot. Burkhead obviously becoming more of a pass-catching back. And it's worked out perfect for New England so far.
I'd expect you to be wrong. That's what I'm expecting.
All right, moving on to the next game of the week. The Chargers and the Bills. The Bills, really, I think the most shocking decision of the season thus far, starting Nathan Peterman this week over Tyrod Taylor. And I know that, John, you believe that this, you understand the move. I do not, and it's just because I get that Tyrod Taylor isn't going to put up 1,000 points for you every week. He only has 10 touchdowns so far this year. But he also has only turned the ball over through the air 3 times. He, with him playing as he is, they are still winning games. It is not his fault they got blown out by the Saints. That was and blown out by the Jets. In fact, his game at the Jets, he had a great game. I don't know. Like, I understand the thinking of it. I just don't understand the timing. Like, why wouldn't you wait until you know you have no shot at making the playoff? Because right now, like we said, in a wide open AFC, if they win like 2 to 3 more games, they could make the playoffs. Like, I don't understand the move. I understand the move because for some reason the Bills hate Tyrod Taylor. I think he's a fine quarterback. But I don't get the timing of it.
That's all I'd say. If they hated him, he wouldn't be there. I mean, it's that simple.
Okay, well, if you look at this, so one of the biggest things, they traded for Kelvin Benjamin earlier this year. He hasn't really seen much time on the field. His game last week was his first with the Bills. But the biggest thing is he's had trouble getting the ball to receivers, honestly, on a consistent basis. He loves to go to his running backs. He loves to go to his tight ends. But they brought in Kelvin Benjamin. They brought in Jordan Matthews. They brought in Deontay Thompson. And a lot of his struggles for being unable to consistently get the ball out is the fact that he can't find his receivers. I think it's partly his height. I think it's partly his arm. It's a mix of things. But the fact that Kelvin Benjamin had 3 receptions. Patrick DeMarco, who is one of their fullbacks, had 3 receptions. Mike Tolbert had 2. And it's the fact that a lot of these passes are going to your underneath routes, to your safe routes. You're not going to your receivers in where you need to. And I think the biggest reason they made this move is Tyrod Taylor is due $8 million roster bonus next year, I believe 3 days after the league starts. They are going to move on from him. They're going to open up that money. They don't want to be tied to him. A lot of it is, I think they see, okay, we've been blown out the last 2 weeks. We looked good. Yes, we probably could sneak in a couple more wins and make the playoffs, but they don't have a good chance at what they want to do. I understand that they could do it,
yeah,
but they want to try and see what they have in Peterman.
Oh, I get that, but it's not going to affect Tyrod's signing bonus if he plays 2 to 3 more weeks. Like, why not? I understand, but they were never going to keep Tyrod Taylor as a long-term starter. I just don't understand the timing of the move. When you're in the middle of a heated playoff race, why would you switch to a quarterback who has only ever played against third stringers in the preseason?
Because I don't think they care
time
about this year anymore.
Like, I feel like, yeah. What? But I just don't get that. They have a winning record. If things, if they can get luck, they could win this game with Tyrod Taylor. I have picked the Bills with Tyrod. No, I don't. I just, I feel like it's giving up on your season when really you still have a glimmer of hope left, okay. And I don't like that. It makes the AFC less watchable. I get where you're coming from, but
look at their last 3 weeks since they have dealt Marcel Darius to the Jaguars. They have been miserable, but that's not on Tyrod Taylor. And they know that they cannot stop the run. It's the fact that they want to see what they have in a young quarterback. The rest of their season is the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Colts, who they could beat, Miami, the Patriots, and Miami. You're likely to lose one of those to Miami, I believe. I don't know about the Indianapolis game, but you have three games against Kansas City and three against Kansas City and New England total. That is a ridiculously hard schedule still. They have a chance, but a lot of it is we want to see what we have in Peterman so we know what to do when it comes to the offseason. I don't think they care much about this season because they know their defense sucks now. Darius was a big part of it in stopping the run, and now they can't. So they're just, I understand it because they know they're not keeping Taylor. I don't think they believe in this team. The first 8 weeks of the season was a bit of a charade for them of, oh, we have a chance, but you really see what this team is now.
Well, for me, I think they're trying to get some momentum in that offense because the offense has looked awful the past 2 weeks. I think that's more of what it is than anything. And yes, they're probably trying to see what's out of Peterman. But as far as the playoff race goes, I know you've said this for a couple of days, Eric, but I think they still have a chance if they win this game. I still think they can get to 9 wins. If they beat Miami twice, if they go into Indianapolis and beat them and then get a win this week, which I don't think is going to happen. But that's 10 wins, I think, or 9 wins. I think there's a chance, but at this point, I think, for me, I'm going to write them off because of this move, unless this is a one-week thing. Of course, we could be talking about them upsetting the Patriots. Somebody's going to upset the New England Patriots. Somebody is. Yes.
That's not true. I think... I'm going to say right now that the Patriots are winning. You're welcome.
Anyway, I have the Bills. I have the Chargers as far as winning. I have them winning this one. I don't think Peterman is going to get much going this week. I just don't. Their offensive line's legit. If they start running the ball this week, I think they have a chance. If they're going to rely on Peterman, they're going to lose the game. That's
that simple. I agree. I've got the Chargers as well in this
game. The Bills haven't been able to run the ball. I expect them to run the ball a lot better here because the Chargers have had their struggles there, but I just have a lot of questions about that Bills team. So I've got the Chargers winning this one.
All right, moving on to our next game, the Bengals at the Broncos. I could have seen this in first down. Paxton Lynch will be the backup in this game. I don't think, unless Brock Osweiler really breaks down, which he could, I don't expect to see Paxton Lynch in this game. I can see why they started Brock Osweiler, though. He had an okay week against New England. But that being said, Brock's going to have to play mistake-free football to beat the Bengals. And last week in garbage time, he threw an interception. So I'm going to take the Bengals here.
I'm going to say it's going to be about a 14-point game. I think the Bengals' talent on offense and defense is better than the Broncos. They beat the Broncos on talent. And that's it for me. I don't think Osweiler's very good. I think Andy Dalton has some potential to have good games, and I'm trusting Andy Dalton over Brock Osweiler or any other Broncos quarterback. I don't care their name. I don't care. As far as defensively, I just don't think the Broncos' scheming has been very good. I don't think the whole team, I think they pretty much gave up on the season. And the Bengals, I think they're still there. I think they still kept momentum So I have the Bengals winning by about 14 points.
That's a lot larger than I expected. I've got the Bengals winning by about 3 here. I have a lot of questions about their offense still. It's been better since Bill Lazor took over early in the season. I think they've got A.J. Green. One of the guys I really do want to watch in this game is Joe Mixon. I want to see how he handles the load, especially against a better run defense in the Broncos. I can't pick a Broncos team that is running Brock Osweiler at quarterback. Like you said, Eric, he has to play mistake-free football, and when you have to rely on a quarterback to be mistake-free, it's very tough to have a lot of confidence in it. So I've got the Bengals winning this one by about a field goal.
That's fair, dog. Moving on to our next game. The Lions at the Bears. The Lions basically need to win this game to keep pace with the Vikings. And if they can win this game, sets up a very nice Thanksgiving Day matchup between the Vikings and the Lions in Detroit. I think this game's going to be close because I believe that Chicago's defense is legit, as we've been saying all year. I think that they can shut down the run. But I just think I trust Matthew Stafford more than I trust Mitchell Trubisky. So I'm going to take the Lions here. But I think it'll be a surprising score. I think it'll be low scoring. I'd say probably like 17 to 10, something really close. But I ultimately trust Matthew Stafford more than the Bears' offense.
The Lions have to win this game. Like you said, if they are going to have any chance of keeping any kind of pace with the Vikings, which I don't think they will in general, but I think this is a must-win. This should be it's not going to be an easy win, but this shouldn't be a hard game to win. I think the Lions will win by 7, and I have that because I trust Matthew Stafford over
Trubisky.
Trubisky, yeah, wow. Trubisky, I trust Matt Stafford over Trubisky. And the defense, I think, I do trust the Bears' defense over the Lions, so you might think that's odd, but I do.
I've been listening to a lot this week, and especially because I'm by Chicago, I hear a lot of Bears talk all week. And it's either going to be a really close Bears win or the Lions just absolutely blow them out. I don't see the Lions winning close just because the problem that has been with the Bears. To me, it's not Mitchell Trubisky. You watch the game, and especially the announcers called it out during that Bears-Packers game of the offense is so predictable of run, run, pass, run, run, pass. And one of the most telling things last week is nine drives in which they didn't score a touchdown. They ended in 3 and outs, and each of the 3 and outs were more than 10 yards. It's the fact that it was 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 11. And you can't expect a rookie quarterback to go out there and convert every single time on those, especially when he has no receivers. A lot of it, I think, is because of John Fox, and we saw the same thing in Denver when he was there, of this very conservative, hey, we're one. At the end of the day, he can go, hey, we were 2 or 3 plays away from winning the game, but you ultimately lost. Doesn't matter how close you were. For me, I've got the Lions in this one just because the Bears are so predictable on offense, and I think a lot of it is being hampered by John Fox. I would like to see Dowell Loggins as a play caller without Fox because he's been talking here in Chicago that he wants to throw more, and I would love to see it. They don't have the options to do it, but maybe if you open up the playbook and don't limit yourself to a passing down on third down or anything else, it's the fact that you may have some success. Now, Mitchell Trubisky has been letting it fly when he does throw. He's averaging about 9 yards intended in the air, so he's taking his shots. He's getting his chances. He's not going 2 to 3 to 4 yards. He's taking that chance when he's given it.
Who do you got here?
I would love to see the Bears blown out just to see John Fox gotten rid of. But that's not the Bears' style, but I still think the Lions win this game.
All right, moving on to third down, the more exciting games of the week. The Eagles and the Cowboys. Ty Smith will not play in this game. That's big news for the Eagles because probably their best position group is their defensive line. I'd say it is the best position group in the entire league right now. They are dominating teams, getting all kinds of pressure, and Dallas is going to have a tough time in this game. I don't want to say that the Eagles are a sure thing because we've seen teams that are supposed to blow out teams come into primetime and implode before. But that being said, I really do believe that the Eagles can win this game and win it handily by more than one score. I think that the biggest storyline coming out of this game is going to be this is going to be the Jay Ajayi Philadelphia breakout game. I think he's going to run for close to 200 yards and a few touchdowns. Just because Dallas's running defense, I think, is going to get broken down mainly because of the fear of Carson Wentz going deep on them. Is that crazy to think that Ajayi yes. might have a 200-yard
day? And I'll tell you why. Because if you look at their snaps, I'm going to pull it up here as I talk, but they've never relied on him, and I don't think they're going to, because they've gone to LeGarrette Blount, they've gone to Corey Clement, they've gone to Ajayi, they've gone to Smallwood. They don't have a guy that they really trust or that they want to use as a every single down back. I think the Eagles win this game easily. A lot of it is going to be due to the fact that the Dallas defense is not great. I don't expect Nelson Agholor to do very well this week, as he's going to draw their toughest corner in Orlando Scandrick out of the slot. But the biggest thing for me is with Tyron Smith gone, that leaves it open, especially against a tough, tough front seven of Philadelphia. We saw last week what happened when Tyron Smith was gone and they allowed 8 sacks to the Falcons, 6 of them coming from Adrian Claiborne, who absolutely owes about half of his game check to Chaz Green because he just let him do whatever and everything to him. But it's the Eagles, and I don't see Ajayi getting that 200 or even 100-yard game, and that's why I've stayed away from the Eagles running backs in fantasy. Is it's sort of that Patriots dilemma of you don't know who's going to get the ball enough to have an explosive day, and they're going to use them in every single way they want. So,
yeah, I think the thought of Ajayi getting 200 yards is ridiculous. I don't see that happening. But I have the Eagles winning. I think Tyron Smith is the difference in this game, as it was last week, as it is every game Tyron Smith is in or out. That is a big news story, because we know, that's why I'm locking the Eagles up. I think the Eagles will win this football game by at least 10 points. As we know, here's my thing. The Dallas offensive line is not good without Tyron Smith. I mean, Adrian Claiborne went in and sacked Dak Prescott 6 times. and they got 8 sacks. The Atlanta Falcons got 8 sacks in total. And we know that Philadelphia Eagles have a better pass rush than the Falcons. So I could see 5 sacks in this football game. I don't see 8, but I do see 5 by the Eagles. Defensively, the Dallas Cowboys are not good without Sean Lee. We know that. And of course, offensively, let's go back to the offense. They're missing Ezekiel Elliott, and isn't Dez Bryant out? Can anybody confirm?
No, Dez Bryant will be playing.
Okay, I know he was banged up though. But
it's most the biggest thing is Tyron Smith and Elliott both being out. You're right there.
Yes. But on the defense, it's Sean Lee. That's the defensive quarterback. That's the play caller. Or the guy that gives them the play calls. So I don't give Dallas a chance in this game. I think there's about a 1% chance they win this football game unless some kind of miracle happens and the Eagles don't show up. But if they do show up, there's about a 1% chance the Cowboys win this game. I have it 27-13 Eagles.
Sounds about right. I'd be right there with you. I'm gonna take actually a little bit more. I'm gonna say 30-10, just because we saw how bad that team is without Tyron Smith. It makes such a huge difference, really.
Right.
Yeah. Moving on to our next game, which just happens to be the Redskins and the Saints. This game could go really one of two ways, in my opinion. The Redskins' running defense was gouged by the Vikings last year. Last week, I mean. Also, their passing defense was exposed by Case Keenum. So, I could see this being a Saints blowout. But, on the other hand, Kirk Cousins has only thrown 7 interceptions this year and has thrown 14 touchdowns. I could see this being a shootout. That's my one big thought on this game. It would not shock me if this ended up being a big shootout where the Saints defense kind of had an off day. But I don't know. What do you guys think about this game?
I'm starting to buy into the Washington Redskins a little bit. I saw what Kirk Cousins put together, and that's something else. Especially last week. I don't know why, and it's kind of weird. Like, their offensive line isn't very good, but he's found a way to piece things together and put a decent offense on the field and play up to his expectations in Washington. So this game's hard for me. But the Saints, I'm still... I know you're going to laugh at me, but I still think this defense could fall apart any minute. I don't think this is a long-lasting thing. This will last for the rest of the season. I just don't see it. But this week, I'm going to take the Saints. They're not going to cover the spread of 8 points. I'd say the Saints will win by a touchdown.
Honestly, I've got them covering the spread this week. I've got them at about a 14-13 point win. Do you know who the top three rushing teams in rushing yards are this year? At this point, you've got Jacksonville, Dallas, and New Orleans. New Orleans is third with 1,280 yards. That team has found a way to grind out the game. They aren't forcing Drew Brees every week to go out there and throw 50 times a game. Ingram and Kamara have been excellent for them. And I expect them to do it again. Obviously, the Redskins' rush defense is much different than the Bills at this point. They are much better. But I have a lot of issues with that Redskins' offense. Not on Kirk Cousins, a lot of it more on the skill position players. And Marshawn Lattimore has been one of the best corners in all of football this year as a rookie, which is absolutely crazy to say. But he's really gone out there and locked it down. He's drawing a lot of comparisons to Darrelle Revis, and especially I see it out there. He locks up these players. He doesn't allow catches. If anything, it's 2 catches for 10 yards maybe. And it's just he's such a beast because of his speed and his knowledge that we've seen so far this year.
Well, what I would say to that is we've seen Kirk Cousins put up – the reason I'm saying that I think that – the offense will be fairly good this week. I'm not saying it's going to be great. I'm saying it's going to be good enough. It's because we've seen Kirk Cousins put up so much against that with that offensive line. We know that offensive line is not good. Talent at wide receiver, it's okay. Terrell Pryor hasn't played up to his expectations, but for what he's been able to put together, I trust that he'll be able to put something decently together. Oh my goodness. I think he'll be able to put something together enough to make this a competitive game.
I get where you're coming from. Like I said, my concern isn't in Kirk Cousins. It's the rest of that team. That offensive line has been banged up. I don't trust the receivers. But the fact that I kind of understand why you feel like the Saints defense is going to collapse, but it's such a different Saints defense than we've seen. One of the problems that they had last year, or 2 years ago actually, was Akeem Hicks, and trying to play him where he was out of position, as we've seen how well he's been here for the Bears. But I just, I actually see the Saints defense staying the way it is because that offense is able to run the ball. They're not having to have these 3 minute yard drive or 3 minute drives where the defense goes right back out there because they're gassed. And they're able to do what they want, and they're able to control the clock on both sides of the ball.
All right, let's go around and pick this game. I got the Saints, but I think it's going to be high scoring and close. I'm going to go Saints 35-32.
I don't think it'll be that high scoring. I have the Saints 24-17. It's going to be a 7-point game.
I've got the Saints 34-13. I'm in love with the Saints team. I think they've got everything they need, and I just don't see a lot of teams being able to stop them.
All right, moving on to the next game. The Falcons and the Seahawks. Big news coming out this morning. Cam Chancellor is out for the season. And that means this defense is without Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor. And really, in a top-heavy NFC, I don't know. I think this is a crazy thought, but I'm still having it. I'm worried that the Seahawks might not make the playoffs. Like, I just don't see what makes this team better than other teams in the NFC.
I think it's going to be competitive down to the end. I think the Seahawks will still be competitive. They're still going to have right now I'm predicting probably about a 10-6 record. I think they'll be competitive down the stretch, but for me, for this game in particular, I think there's way too many injuries on the defense. I think this will be another game where we say we'll ask ourselves, have the Falcons gotten it together in the end? And that's why this is going to be my upset of the week. I'm going to pick the Falcons. It's going to be a decently scoring game, 33-27.
Wow, that's a lot higher than I thought. I could see it, though. To answer your question there, Eric, I still think the Seahawks make the playoffs just because they are 6-3. You've got the Cowboys who are struggling at 5-4 behind them. You've got Lions at 5-4, Packers at 5-4. They don't have a lot of stiff competition for that second wild card spot. They've got some, but this is something that I'm actually interested. I wouldn't have wanted to see it this way, is Russell Wilson. Is he going to be able to be that top quarterback still without that defense? It's going to say a lot about him and his future going forward as well, of just how good he really is and proving it to the league without that defense. Because everyone could fall back and go, okay, they get the ball for him. He can take his chances. He can turn the ball over if he wants. But now you've got a lot of injuries and big injuries to this defense that it doesn't it's scary because we haven't seen this defense as banged up in a long time. I'm in agreement with Chris. I've got the Falcons winning this game. But I think it's going to be very close just because Russell Wilson is going to keep him in this game and keep it competitive. And he's shown it the last few weeks that he can light up the scoreboard if he has to.
Yeah, I'll like to say this. I think this game will be one of the defining games that tells us which of these two teams have the better chance of going into the playoffs. It's either wild card. I think both teams still have a chance to win their division. It's just probably a 25% chance. It's not likely. But this is one of the games that's going to define both teams' chances on their playoff hope, as a wild card one or two.
I think only one of these teams gets in, especially with the way the Panthers are playing, although I get your point.
Yeah.
I'm going to go my upset of the week, too. I'm going to go Falcons. I think it's a low-scoring game, 24-17. Moving on to the game of the week, the Vikings and the Rams, and I'm just going to start by saying the Vikings are my lock of the week, but it's mainly, here's why. I think the Rams, I watched the Rams game last week, and through the first, really the first half, and until midway through the third quarter, their offense was stagnant and looked like it had totally disappeared. And then they were able to drop 30 in the span of about 20 minutes, which is, yes, incredibly impressive, but I don't think you can do that against a Vikings team like this. I don't think this game's going to be high scoring. I think it's going to be very, very close. I think both quarterbacks are really going to struggle against good defenses. And I'm taking the Vikings, but I think it ends really... This will be one of the most surprising scorelines of the week. I think it'll end around 10-13, maybe 10-16. I think each team only gets one offensive touchdown. That's how good I think both of these defenses are right now. And I don't trust Jared Goff's consistency. It's been a lot of great play calling that has opened up these throws for him. I'm not sure if Sean McVay can out-scheme just a talent-loaded Vikings secondary and the fact that this is in Minnesota. But I don't think Case Keenum's going to have a great week either, and I think after this week we see Teddy Bridgewater start.
Oh, it's bothering you so bad that Teddy Bridgewater hasn't started yet.
Yeah, kind of. I kind of like watching Case Keenum play. I liked his game last week, but I think that this is his last week, even though they'll win. I think he'll have more of the kind of day that we're accustomed to seeing from him.
If he throws an interception, will it prove that he is inconsistent?
Probably.
I bet it will. I expect to see that tweet. For me, I think this will be I'm going to go ahead and say my scoreline. It's going to be kind of weird. 19-13. And it's going to be the Rams on top of the Vikings. I just don't... this is hard to say because I don't want to say I don't trust Case Keenum because he's played well this season, but I think the Rams defense will kind of hold the Vikings back some. I don't see the Vikings running on the Rams. I really don't. I think this will come down to Case Keenum, and to be quite honest, I'm just going to pick Jared Goff over Case Keenum this week. I know the Vikings have the better defense, but I still think the Rams will get something going against the Vikings. Low scoring game, 19-13 Rams.
Before I make my call, I've got a question for you, Eric. You said you think it's a lot of play calling for Jared Goff and the play calling being able to open it up for the receivers. Isn't that the whole point of an offensive coordinator, though, is take advantages and get open throws for your quarterback?
My point more being that he is throwing to the biggest windows in football right now. He's not really making tight window throws if you go back and watch the game tape. It's, although I see where you're coming from, and that's not what I meant. Of course, every offensive coordinator affects how a quarterback plays. It's just Jared Goff is not playing like a Tom Brady or a Carson Wentz. He's not making these plays off skill alone. It's more just really great scheming and hitting wide open throws. I think that the Vikings are going to shut down, really, the wide receivers who have made these plays for him. And I think he's going to have a slower day. But I see your point where do you get what I'm saying, kind of? I'm not saying that Jared Goff's a bad quarterback. He's doing exactly what he should be doing for a second-year quarterback. He's getting a good coaching staff around him, and they're building up his confidence. But he's not... I've seen a lot of stuff where people are like, he should be an MVP candidate. Like, he shouldn't be an MVP candidate.
Oh, yes, he should.
It's not. I don't think he should. That's just my thought, at least.
Go ahead.
He should is because he's... Well, the reason he should is because he's played up to the level of the other quarterbacks. I mean, we can't say that it's all because of scheming, because that would be wrong. And also... The way I took what you said is you're saying that he's not going to be able to scheme against the Vikings defense. Is that accurate?
Yes, I don't think he is. I think this is the best defense the Rams have played, and I trust the Vikings defense more than I trust Jared Goff.
I'm going to see, one of the things is they did face Jacksonville back in week 6, and they were able to win that game. And it's, to me, this is such a weird game because it's a huge game for the playoffs. It's a huge game just in general this season. It's one of the biggest ones we'll see. But it's weird to think that we really can't count on either offense, because you look back at each of the team's last 4 games, the Rams have played the Jaguars, Cardinals, Giants, and Texans. A lot of those are trash this year. And the Vikings have played Green Bay, Baltimore, and that Green Bay game did include losing Aaron Rodgers. Baltimore, Cleveland, and Washington. So it's really hard to say what's going to happen in this game just because of the fact that neither team has played a great competition. But for me, I'm going to go the Rams. And who do you... I do have a question. If you guys have watched much of the Rams, who do you think the best receiver on that team is right now?
I'd have to say... honestly, this is going to be a surprise. It's a tight race between Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. I think Robert Woods has been very underrated. And yes, Sammy Watkins has made a majority of their chunk plays, but he's not as consistent a receiver as Cooper Kupp or Woods. I think I'd have to go Kupp right now, but I love Woods.
I think with Todd Gurley, he's made a big factor into their passing game. But if we're going just receivers, I'm going to go Robert Woods. I haven't watched a whole lot of this team, so I'm not gonna disqualify myself, but I'm not gonna say this is really, as far as opinion, my opinion doesn't mean as much for this topic. But I'm gonna go Robert Woods because I've seen him; he's been the most consistent out of him and Sammy Watkins.
That's exactly what I wanted to see. I absolutely agree with you on both of that. And you know what Robert Woods has done the most of the season? He's drawn their top cornerbacks for the opposing team. So it's a lot of people want to say, oh, Sammy Watkins isn't doing much because he's drawn the top cornerback and top defender of the opposing team. But that's wrong. It's Robert Woods has taken about 70% of the top cornerback's snaps, or against top cornerbacks, this entire season.
There's a lot of people
who are saying that, oh, he's not living up to his potential, or that Robert Woods is only open because Sammy Watkins is taking that top cornerback draw, but he's not. And Woods has been playing out of his mind ever since he left Buffalo, while drawing actually cornerback number ones for teams. And it's weird and it's funny to see how many Bills receivers have left the team and gone and done good things. Honestly.
Underrate Cooper Kupp. I know I said Robert Woods is great, but Cooper Kupp is Goff's go-to guy. Like, I think if a question were phrased, who does Goff trust the most, I'd go with Cooper Kupp because he's his go-to guy when it gets down to it.
Kupp has been one of my favorites to watch this year as a rookie. He hasn't been explosive like an Odell Beckham Jr., but you watch his routes and he's very polished as a rookie, and it's exciting to see. So,
yeah, so close competition right between these two receivers. I think we can agree on that.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yeah,
John,
this one was tough for
me.
I really do like what the Vikings are doing. They've got the top defense in the league, but I'm going to take an upset here in the Rams. I like Jared Goff, and I think their offense isn't going to struggle as much as you guys are thinking. I still think it's going to be an odd score. I've got 23-17, or 23-21, I think, is what I put down in our pick'em. And it's just because I think there's going to be a lot of field goals. The teams are going to move downfield but be unable to put it in the end zone.
I'm honestly a little bit shocked you both picked the Rams. I think people
I trust Goff more, and I trust their scheming more. I love Diggs and Thielen. They are the best wide receiver duo, but I've got it. When it comes down to running backs, Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray versus Todd Gurley, I'm taking Todd Gurley all day. That's what put me over the top, was that little extra bit of flexibility in the offensive game.
You don't have the privilege to say we're underrating the Vikings, Eric. Not for you to. You don't have the what? Right to tell us we're underrating the Vikings.
What? I've been on. Hey, I've been supporting this Vikings defense since they. Just because I don't like Case Keenum doesn't mean I don't the like their team. I've been NFL. Saying that they're gonna. I've been on their bandwagon literally since Aaron Rodgers got injured. I like the Vikings, and you guys are kind of disrespecting their defense, I feel. But, yeah, we are recording this on a Saturday, so, I mean, how were your weekends, I guess?
It's been good. It was busy today. Quiet. Took the son out to Barnes & Noble. We were kind of doing some shopping for the wife for Christmas. Came home, had a pillow fight, so it's been busy.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's been busy.
Well, pillow fights.
Too, just in different ways. As far as thought week goes.
All right. Well, for me, you know, just doing Eric. Moving on to next week. Next week's gonna be a little bit weird. It'll be Thanksgiving week. So our plan is to do a Sunday night show. John's just getting filled in on this now, so he may or may not be with us for most of these. But our plan is to do a Sunday night show where we recap all of the Sunday action. And on Tuesday, we will do probably a brief segment, like maybe like a game or something, and then we'll talk about the Thanksgiving games, and then on Black Friday we will release the rest of the week 12 preview, as well as talk about what happened on those Thanksgiving day games, and then we'll of course come back the next Tuesday. So three shows in total next week. It'll be interesting. We'll see what happens. Hopefully our Discord gets fixed. Hopefully this Audacity way works, and maybe we'll be doing this for a while. But I'm feeling better now. So I'll see you guys whenever I see you again. All right. Any last words?
Don't forget to subscribe to us on whatever your podcast provider is, whether it's iTunes, whether it's Podbean, whether it's any of them. We'd love to hear from you guys. Drop us a review. Talk to us on Twitter at EndZonePod. You can find me at DadSox on Twitter. What about you, Eric?
Oh, at Eric18 Utah.
I haven't changed mine yet.
Well, I don't know. What would you change it to?
I haven't changed it yet. I might not change it.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, that being the case, we will have this up hopefully by tonight, or you may be listening to this while the games get started. But either way, this shall be up this weekend, so we will see you next week. Peace out.
And done.